Maybe it's enhancing your life, making it better. So they'll highlight that, and they'll find out what do you need, what are you looking for in life. And then they'll make their pitch then in that direction. It's going to save you lots of money, but wait, there's more. But of core issues in life, survey has said people are really looking for three main things. They're on a quest for three significant things. Meaning. They want life to be meaningful. They're looking for meaning in life. And maybe you've been in that place of a feeling you wake up, you go to work, you pound it out, you get home. There's some work to do around home. You watch the news, you go to bed, you get up, you go to work, you pound it out, you come home, there's some stuff to fix, there's clothes to wash, there's dishes to put away, and you go to bed, and you wake up, and you go to work, and you're feeling like you're going round and around and around. Maybe you're in school, but you feel like, where is this all there is? You want meaning. The other thing that people are on a quest for is community. And that's even the most rugged individual person that you think could go up to the northern part of Alaska, live in a single room cabin and be content and happy the rest of his or her life, longs for community. They want to feel like they belong, are accepted, and that people like them, even love them. And the third thing they've identified that people are on a quest for, they're looking for meaning. They're looking for community. And thirdly, they're looking for destiny. They're saying, is life just this, what we see around us, and then we die and now we're done? Or is there something beyond? Is there something beyond me? Is there something bigger than what we experience here now? Jesus Christ came to this earth. And he spoke about God, his Father. And all of these needs, these things that people are on a quest for, he says, God gives you. He is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. But he said things of information. God created all things. And we read information in the Bible. We believe the Bible to be true. And so there's information that says God made all things. He made Adam and Eve. He placed them in the garden. They disobeyed him, ate from the tree that he told them not to. Sin came in, separated them. Jesus Christ came in, told and pointed people to the Father, was the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, was placed in a tomb, rose from the dead. And that's what Easter is all about. Is Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive and active in this world today. But that's all information. But Jesus also gave intimacy. What do you mean? I can say information like 2 plus 2 is 4. I can say information like Connie and I were married on October 4th, 1980. Connie's not here. She's at work. She was surprised. She got a text Saturday morning saying, oh, by the way, this is your holiday to work. She went to God. She hasn't worked a Sunday for probably 8 years. But information is, October 4th, 1980, we got married. Intimacy is, there's nobody deeper in this world that I love more than God, other than Jesus. That's intimacy. So when God says, before you were born, I knew you, he's not just giving information, he's giving intimacy. He says, many are the thoughts I have of you. Think about it. God thinks about me. I always think, when God thinks about me, he must think, what a dork. I always think, what is God's thoughts about me? But it says, many are his thoughts. And even our gathering here this morning, celebrating Easter, he's been waiting for us and waiting to hear our praise lifted up, waiting to hear our prayers. It's like, that's intimacy. And so when Jesus came and was speaking all these things, some people took it Just like you buy a banana. Well, what are you talking about? When you buy a banana, you're not really buying a banana, you're buying the peelings. Because when you go to the store, you look at the peeling, right? You don't go in a grocery store and open it up and just say, what are you doing? Well, I need to see the inside. I need to see more than the peeling. You look at the peeling, you say, well, this is a little green. If I wanted to eat it today, unless I like green bananas, I'm going to look for something that's a little riper. And maybe it's all brown and bruised, and unless you want to make banana bread, you say, I'm not going to buy that bunch of bananas. It's too brown. But you're basing your decision on the peeling. So you're buying the peeling, assuming that what's inside is but you're using some logic and some thinking and thought about it. And when Jesus came, some people embraced him in the same way. Here's some information. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And he said, I accept that. I'm going to embrace that and believe that and follow that. Another said, I need more. I need more than that. And some of us on our journey have accepted Christ, just kind of like we buy bananas. And others said, I need more. And some of you have discovered more, and some of you are in that discovery of more. Donald Miller wrote a book called Blue Like Jazz. And in it, he said that whenever he told people about Jesus Christ, he felt like a telemarketer. He said, I tell them, you know, embrace Jesus Christ in your life, and your life will be wonderful. But wait, there's more. He's thinking, you know. And he said, I felt like a telemarketer. And some people in telling about Jesus, come on, maybe like a telemarketer. So it was late August, right around supper time, the phone rings, and I answer it. My family can tell by the dialogue and the listening that it's a telemarketer. But this telemarketer had an offer that intrigued me. This telemarketer said they represent Warrior Custom Golf Clubs. And we want to send you, Mr. Radicky, some golf clubs, and you have them, and if you like them, we've got a great price. And if you don't, you send them back, you get a free driver. Well, one of my sons was in golf in school, and the other son was playing golf, and both of them are really very good, and I'm not. And I just kind of had junk equipment. I thought a driver would be a good thing to have, especially a free driver. Those of you know me, I'm very frugal. So I asked this telemarketer, so if I don't like the clubs, and you know, here's the deal. Ms. Radick, how much do you golf? And they ask all these questions, and I don't really golf much. In my mind, golfing was for something that when I get too old to do anything else, then I'll golf. I like too many other sports that are more active instead. But because my boys were in it, I love going out with them. And I didn't want to be an embarrassment. So I had a kind of junk equipment. I thought a nice driver would be good. So I reiterated with the telemarketer. So let me just understand this clearly, that if I send the clubs back, and I'm going to send them back, I get to keep the driver, and it's free. Free driver. Okay, send the golf clubs. So they send the clubs. I hang up the phone. My kids are like, wow, Dad, you bought something from a telemarketer. You've never bought anything from a telemarketer before. I said, nope, didn't buy anything from a telemarketer. I'm getting a free golf club driver. I'm pretty juiced about this, excited. What about Warrior Golf Clubs? Well, you know, I don't know. Nobody's seen any Warrior Golf Clubs, but hey, it's a... Connie just sighed and rolled her eyes. Golf clubs came, and I've got the invoice here, and it's dated August 29th. And actually, they sent the driver and the woods, and I think the irons weren't sent. They were going to come out later. So they sent the iron and the woods. And I kind of made some notes on here. 11:25. Richard Tess, I remember Richard Tess because I called back November 25th and said, I need the return authorization number so I can send the clubs back except for my free driver. So what's the RA? What's the return authorization number? Because then I don't have to pay shipping and handling. And that was the agreement. And Richard said, Mr. Radek, did you like the clubs? Anything wrong with them? He said, they're personalized because they've got like my measurements on here. They have that. I have a slice, which is true. They should have said super slice. But that's the way it is here. I've got one. Go ahead, Pat. Look at it on the end. It's got my name on it. Custom. It's a sticker. It's a sticker, I think. But they go, Mr. Radeke, did you like the clubs? And I said, well, they're nice clubs. You kind of know the end of the story because I'm passing the club out, obviously. So there's going to be no suspense there. But I go, Richard, what's the return authorization number? He said, well, have you tried them? And have you read the terms and agreements? And I said, well, your representative said I could send them back. And I asked. And I don't golf enough to warrant spending all this money in golf clubs. They said, read the terms and conditions. And here's, first of all, on the top, thank you for your recent purchase. 45-day money-back guarantee. So if you do the math, August 29th, I'm calling on November 25th. Yeah, guess what? I'm over 45 days. And then further down, terms and conditions. The terms and conditions of this agreement supersede any and all verbal or written representations and agreements made by Warrior Custom Golf or any of its representatives. So they say, he said, I don't care what they told you over the phone. This is our terms and conditions. And I said, a representative of Warrior Golf Club called me up and I spoke it back to him. I get a free... They said, no, read the terms and conditions. I said, this is a terrible company. This is awful. You have representatives on the phone, telemarketing, that you're saying don't represent you. So they could say anything. And he said, read. And I didn't like Richard. I didn't feel community or belonging with Richard. I said, I'm going to call the Better Business Bureau. This is a terrible company. And needless to say, I was a little... Richard finally said this, Mr. Radeke, try the clubs out. At the beginning of the conversation, he was all chummy. You have salesmen that do that, pretend like they're your friend or they know you on the phone, and it's like, who is this stranger? Well, he heard I was in Minnesota, and he'd been in Minnesota once or twice or something. And I said, Richard, I live in Minnesota. He says, well, you will try the clubs out. I said, courses have closed weeks, if not months ago. He says, try the clubs out. And then call back. So there was a glimmer, a sliver. So the next day, and I don't remember if there was snow, if there wasn't much snow. Maybe my sons will remember because they came out with me. And we took these woods and we went up to on the top of our septic mound, which we call now the Radeke Tee Box. And we teed up some golf clubs there, some golf balls. And we whacked a couple golf balls, And I'm not a good golfer. So I asked my son, what do you think of the clubs? And I don't really care, honestly. And they said, well, Dad, they're pretty good clubs. They hit well. I says, doesn't matter. I'm not keeping them. I want my free driver. That's the only thing I care about. And one of the things that Richard, when I first called him, after he got into this level of understanding, he says, tell me you didn't just have us mail these out to you engraved with your name on it because you wanted a free driver. I said, yes, I did. And he says, tell me you didn't just do it for the free driver. I said, Richard, I just told you I did. Tell me. He did it a third time. I said, Richard, yes. And I, you know, he's making me feel like real puny. So after we tried them out, I kind of dreaded getting Richard back on the line. But I called. Now, Valerie was nice, and Valerie was understanding. She was very different than Richard. And I told Valerie, you know, here's the deal, and here's what's going on. We tried them. She said, do you like clubs? I said, my son said they're great clubs, and they know more than me. And I don't golf much. And so I'm going to send them back. What's the return authorization number? And she says, well, they are custom-made just for you. And they have your name on it. So we're really not wild about sending them back. I'll tell you what she says. She said, we'll throw in the irons for free, which they haven't been shipped out yet. We'll throw the irons in for free if you keep the clubs. I said, no, no, no. What's the return authorization number? And she said, Mr. Radek. You know, you like the clubs. They work for you. And we'll take half off the woods that you have. We won't send the irons out, but we'll take half off the woods. It's worth like $130 apiece. I said, no. 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 My marriage is too valuable. What's the return authorization number? And she R.A., return authorization, 759-513-1011-VM. I have it. So that's all I needed to put on the thing, to ship them all back, keep my driver. I was happy. Valerie and I, we had community. I felt like I belonged with her. I didn't feel that with Richard. You know, I'm going to invite you to turn to John chapter 10. I want to look at two very short verses here. The Bible's newer to you. John is the fourth gospel. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And for some people, that's still confusing. Go to the front. You got a table of contents that divides it into Old Testament, New Testament. Go to New Testament. You find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It'll give you a page number. And sometimes it's tricky even finding chapters and verse, but chapters then are listed in a bigger number. So go to chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 9 and 11 this morning. I am the gate. This is Jesus speaking. I know this because my letters are red. But again, you look in verse 4, and it says, therefore Jesus said again. So it's Jesus is communicating here. And verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Now, unlike what Richard was saying about the terms and conditions, Jesus had already told them what his terms and conditions were. He said, I and the Father are one. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. And in fact, that's why they wanted to kill him. That's why they wanted to put him on the cross. Because he had said that he was God's son, and they said, blasphemy. He had said, before Abraham was, I was. That'd be like me saying, before George Washington, well, I was. Before Abraham Lincoln, I was. And you'd say, well, you're old, but not that old. They say, Jesus, you're like 30 years old and you're saying you're older than Abraham? You're out of your mind. But Jesus said, here's my representation. I'm the gate. Didn't mean he was literally like an iron wrought gate, symbolically. He's saying, if you come through me, you'll find freedom. You'll find safety. And the terms and conditions is if I say it, it's good. It's true. It's accurate. Everything that I say about the Father I'm representing him. And it's not like this that says no verbal representation matters. It's what's written down. What's written down here and what he verbalized are true. You go down a little bit and he says things like in verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Is that information or intimacy? That's intimacy. That's relationship. He said, I haven't come here just to give you religiosity or ritual. I've come for a relationship. And there's a thief, there's an enemy, there's a bad guy out there, and I believe there's a real devil and a real Satan. And I don't think like he's going to be the guy in hell, you know, just laughing and not getting tortured himself. He's in with all the others. And that the Bible's true, that there was this angelic rebellion and Satan rebelled against Jesus against God because he wanted to be like him. And it says the thief, that's the enemy, that's the devil, Satan, Lucifer. The thief comes to what? To destroy and to steal. And so he wants to break up marriages and separate families and create turmoil in your workplace and erode relationships. But he says, I've come to give you life. The life I give you is full. And so we're not telemarketing. We have a story that's profound to tell. That's true, that's real. So I get the return authorization number from Valerie. And she says, really, I have one last offer that I can give you. You have the number and you're going to ship them in. But she says, for us, it'd be better, you know, not paying the shipping stuff. How about $100 for the three woods, and you've got your free driver? At this point, I remember one or both of my sons were at the table, and I'm kind of like, you know, they're saying that $100 for these, is that good? And they said, Dad, these are, you know, forget the $130 a piece, but I mean, if you buy something like that, it'll be like $60. So you're getting like half off. He said, these are good clothes. And so at the risk of my marriage, my sanity, I did something I had never, ever done before. I crossed the line. I bought something from a telemarketer. And I said, Valerie, I'll take. You can see I have them. They're used. They still have my name on them. I still have a slice. But I crossed the line. Jesus comes and he's authentic and he never forces himself on people. And he invites, and some take him like a banana. And say, what I see and what I can tell, he's everything that he says he is, and they embrace him. Others need more information, and even his disciples that doubted and questioned and wondered, who is this? He says, follow me. See if I am everything that I have said I am. And then embrace me, and here's my terms and conditions. You give up your life and doing things your way, to embrace my life and doing things my way. And then you've crossed the line. The crossing the line is a big deal. Not just for buying stuff, but for salvation, for Easter. And many here cross that line, and you can identify and go back to perhaps some of you the very day, the very hour that you remember you said yes to Jesus Christ. For me, I can go back to a summer. I was during vacation Bible school, so it must have been June, July, or August. And I was 9 years old, so I can say the summer, 1969. For some of you say, gosh, that's old. But you should also say, he's been following Jesus quite a few years. And in all the years I've followed Jesus, I found he's everything and more. reasons I crossed the line with Jesus is I needed my sins forgiven. I knew that. I grew up in a church that said, you know, that if that all had sinned and come short. But inside me, I also needed to know that somebody loved me. That aspect of community. The people that were around me that I felt should protect me and love me didn't. And I found that He's everything. Those that have golfed with me know that my golf emotions are based on whether I find more lost golf balls than I lose golf balls. So if I lose three and I find five, that's a good game. I don't care what, you know, what the par is and how many birdies or bogeys or, and I don't get eagles or. But I like to think that if I golf with Jesus, we would have a good time kind of going in the out of bounds and looking for lost golf balls, because Jesus loves lost things. He tells three parables: a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, two lost sons. And what He's doing by that boom, 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 boom stories is saying lost people matter to Him. Not just lost thing, but lost people matter to Him. So these are all freebies. I'm going to pass them out. I'm going to invite you to take one. We got enough for one each. There's a bunch of pens. Take a pen. If you want to dig through and grab a special one, there's some colored ones. Some are old and gnarly, and some are more shiny, but they're all used. And they're kind of like life. Some of them have scuff. Almost all of them have a scuff on them. And in life, we get scuffed. Some of them have been in the mud and in the pond, and you can see they're not white and clean anymore. And sometimes that's like us. We've been in the muck. We're still a little tingy. But there's enough magic markers, I think, for like a couple per row. So you're going to have to share a little bit. What I want you to do on these balls here, once you get one, is to identify when you cross the line. And some of you would be able to say, you know, I can't really say when. It was like maybe my freshman, sophomore, junior year of college. Well, fine, just kind of put, you know, that down. But write a date. I've got summer 1969 down. Some of you may not be able to write a date. Some will say, I'm not sure I've crossed the line. I'm not sure I've made that decision to follow Jesus. Some of you have crossed the line and you've got a date on there, but you recognize and say, it'd be just like me getting the Warrior Golf Clubs and never going out and playing the game. You made a decision, but you haven't been active in your faith. It's just been kind of sidelined, and today's the day for you to rekindle that this Easter. But if you say, I've never crossed that line, this may be your day. And it's as simple as saying three words, maybe four. Saying sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry for the sins I've done, the things that I've done that have been against you. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so all of us that have crossed the lines had to say that. And then the next words would be thank you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, for the sins of the world. And please. And Jesus, God doesn't force himself on us. Jesus doesn't force himself on us. But it's please come into my life. Be with me. Live with me by your Spirit. And if that's you and you want to pray that prayer today, I'm going to lead in a prayer in a moment. I'm not going to telemarket you and say, but wait, there's more. If you say yes to Jesus today, you'll get three Ginzu knives. No. But if you show me your golf ball you have today's date on, I'll take you lunch out to lunch this week. Not today, but this week. Now, don't go changing your dates and your golf balls now. I know some of you too well. But many of you can put a date down. And here's what's going to happen at the Radke house today. We're going to have a little later lunch because Connie gets off at 2. She's not real happy about it. She doesn't mind the work. She's got a great group to work with and such. but she'd rather us just go home and eat. It's just the way she's wired. But all the kids have said, we're going to wait till mom gets home. We'll have some snacks and we'll be fine. But at the Radke table, we're going to talk about these golf balls and talk about the dates that we put on. Because everybody has a story about that event or that period of time. Why did you cross the line? I have a story with this, but I have a story with something that happened in my heart. What was it that made me cross that line back in the summer of 69? What was it that made you cross the line your junior, senior year of college, or as a young child, or as an adult? What's your story that made you cross the line today? So stand with me. I'm not saying you have to, but this is a great conversation piece. You get to go home and say, everyone else got Easter eggs at their church, so I got a golf ball. But you have something to talk about. Let's pray. Now, I don't know everybody here, and I'm just going to be straight up with you. I'm going to offer to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to invite you to come up, but I would be thrilled if you just did show me the date, that today was the date for you. But if you want to cross the line today, you say a prayer like this. Jesus, I'm sorry. I have done things that have been against you. And I want to change. The Bible calls that repent and repentance. Jesus, thank you. I believe you did die on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead and that you're alive today. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for taking away my guilt and my shame. Please come into my life today and fill me by your Holy Spirit. If you've prayed that and you've meant that, Jesus says that he's come to you in that intimacy, in a relationship, and he has saved you, not just for today, but forever. And he offers you a new life, a new way to do living. Thank you, Lord, for Easter, and for the rest of us that have a date on our golf ball. Thank you for us crossing that line. Thank you for salvation, and it's a great reminder. Because that thief comes back to lob accusations at us and say we're still like a dirty golf ball and that we're not clean. But the truth is, we are. You've made us that way. We are grateful and thankful. Thank you for this Easter, that you're active in this world and there is a destiny ahead for us. There's meaning in life. And when we say yes to you, we're ushered into a community of a spiritual family. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to stay just a moment longer. We're going to run a song here that talks about the Lord and how he thought about us before we thought about him, how he spoke over us and danced over us. So let's sing this song in closing. The kids may be going in and out doing their Easter egg hunt, but we'll just close here with this final song.